is your name, sir?
James Kinney.
Okay, hold on one moment. We'll be right with you. I believe the Honorable. We can't hear you so well, sir. Can you? Yeah, maybe let's try that and see what happened. Otherwise, we may have to do it by phone because we had some problems yesterday with Tucson, I remember. Yeah, talk a little louder. Let's see if that's going to work, sir.
How loud is this?
That's good.
Can everybody hear him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's loud. Well, the board members, that's loud enough, sir. Okay, well, we'll see how this is going to work. And the Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct your hearing, will serve as a lead for your hearing. So just hang on, and the next voice you will hear will be that of the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson.
We've got a scene.
What do you mean?
No, does he have the sheet from do we have the sheet from?
Oh, we don't have anything yet.
Nothing else from Vernon.
We don't have that, don't we? We do from Vernon. No, we don't have anything from Vernon, sir.
No.
Yeah. No, sir. This is James D. Lee, right?
Yes.
Sir, who are you here on?
Lawyers and clerk charges for Price. For Price.
Okay. All right.
Charles Price.
Mr. Price is a, we have him with the commutations, he's a home arrest.
He's a list.
Because I stuck on that end, okay. But we don't have yours on here, Mr. Johnson. Nobody's on here for you. We have your.
Okay, sir, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is James D. Wynn, D-E-W-I-G. My ADC number is
087-349. Okay, Mr. DeWitt, I'm going to introduce you to the board members. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency that I'll be holding your hearing this morning. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left, you have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead this morning, okay?
Good morning, y'all.
So, Mr. DeWitt, I'm going to go over some information with you this morning. And then after I go over that information with you, I'm going to give you the opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board. I'm going to start out going over the information that we have here that's listed. You are here and have been certified to come before this board for an absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You are actually serving a lifetime sentence for manslaughter, which occurred in, looks like, about 1990. You became parole eligible on October 23rd of 2015. Is that right?
That is correct.
At the time that this incident occurred, you were on probation out of California for a grand theft for the offense that had committed. The grand theft happened in 1988. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, sir. So according to the inmate institutional progress report that we have here, I see that you have taken some programming. Looks like some of your last programming was in 2016. You had a reentry program that you took back in January of 16. It looks like you completed AA programming in October of 17. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, it says that you have been approved to reside at the Oasis Reentry Services in Phoenix. You also said that you have family and supporters that will also help you obtain employment and support yourself. Is that right?
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about the family support that you have here, sir.
I have a brother, two sisters, they are going to make sure that I stay on the straight and narrow. I'm never going to violate another law in my life, but they want to ensure that that happens.
Uh-huh.
They're getting involved in the community. This is going to be a, I've been down 28 years, and it's going to be a heck of a transition, going from jail life to society. And they're going to be there for me to help me guide me through it.
So is your family here in the state of Arizona, or where are they located?
Well, so they live in Los Angeles.
Okay. So that's probably the main reason why they're not here today to assist you, is that right?
My brother, who is my main supporter, has a heart condition.
Got it.
Pacemaker. And I didn't want him to... I don't know where you are located.
Okay, we're in Phoenix, sir.
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
Okay, no problem.
I asked him not to come.
Okay.
There's a letter in my file somewhere in one of those from my previous board meetings that attests to his absolute support for me.
Yeah, there's a previous letter in here. I was just saying if there was any more recent letters that you have. So, okay, well, I'm going to move on from there. I also see, sir, that you do have attached in your file, you do have the application, you do have a letter in your file dated July 20th of 2018 that says you have been approved to live at the Oasis Reentry Services, that they have accepted you. You have applied to be there. You put that in your file along with your application. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. I also see, sir, it looks like your last ticket that you received was back in 2013. That was for disorderly conduct. You were found guilty. That was a minor. Can you tell me about that, sir?
The only thing I can remember is I was arguing with an officer about they were escorting this child, I think. I can't remember really. It was a minor incident. I can't remember it.
Okay. So I also see that it looks like in 2016 you had a harassment and unauthorized smoking. They were both impromptu resolved. What were those about? What was that harassment about?
I was talking to an officer who had us standing out in the child line for 45 minutes in 109-degree heat. And the humidity was up in the 68 or something like that. We were out there sweating, but we were standing in line for 45 minutes. And I got upset. I asked him to open the door and let us go inside and crawl so we could get out of the sun. And Mr. Stevens, I believe is who it was, he started giving me he started mouthing off. So I mouthed off back to him.
Okay. What was the
answer? His smoking was I was not smoking. I was out on the deck field doing my job working. And Sergeant Stimbles came through and shut down the houses. And I smoked 4 cigarettes a day. So I would smoke a half a cigarette and take it back in the house and put it in a little a chew can. I put it in there. And I'll take it out. It leaves some ashes there. And that's what he found ashes, him and Sergeant Kenny.
Okay.
And he did it to 35 people that day. And I wasn't smoking in the building. I don't do that. I don't smoke in the building.
Okay.
I was outside working.
Okay.
And Ms. Johnson, the disciplinary officer, she understood that and she made it a minor.
They just left it as informally resolved. They didn't say whether it was a minor or major, but that's fine. So I do want to commend you for the amount of time that you've been in there, that you do, you have had a minimal amount of discipline and tickets that you've received in there. And for the entire time that you've been in there, it looks like you only received 2 majors since you've been incarcerated, sir. One of those majors are from drug possession. Are you doing any drugs still, or that drug possession was way back in 1995, August of 1995?
Yeah, I don't do drugs.
Okay, well, what else says?
I don't drink. I've never had a dirty UA. I don't know. I did get one that was dismissed.
Okay, you got one. You had a narcotics one in 94 that was dismissed. This was in August of 1995. Which is a ways back. It says drug possessing, manufacturing, ET, and that was a major.
The only thing I don't remember that.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago.
Okay, but you don't have a drug problem. You're not doing any drugs, so I don't.
No, sir. That will never happen again in my lifetime.
Okay. I see that you have appeared before the Board of Executive Clemency before, sir. Back in 95, you had a special hearing that was not recommended to the governor. And then you had a hearing in December 15, December 16, and February 18 that you had parole hearings, which were all denied. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
It was December the 28th.
Okay. So I'm going to go over some information with you then. If anything is bad I'm going over is wrong or out of order, you can correct me on that. Then I'm going to get back with you with some other information to have you give us some information, okay?
Whatever you need.
Okay, this says that on October 22nd, 1990, at approximately 5 feet, about 5 p.m., the daughter of the victim, Christy, had last spoken to her mother on the 21st at approximately 10 o'clock. At that time, the mother wanted to borrow a car, but she wouldn't let her borrow the car. She came over the next day after not hearing from her mother. And that time, she came to the trailer. She noticed that the glass door of her mother's trailer was broken, and upon hearing, was confronted with blood throughout the interior. She became frightened and went immediately to the RV office and telephoned the police. Subsequently, the police came and found the victim discovered in the bedroom of the trailer. Subsequent investigation led to you, sir, and it says apparently the defendant, the victim, you guys have been drinking heavy for several days. The defendant, with the assistance of a neighbor, you had purchased a bottle of vodka. The morning in question, the bottle was empty within about an hour. It says that you were in the bathroom and you heard a gunshot. Upon coming out, you realized that Ms. Patricia Hurst had fired the weapon apparently inadvertently. It says that you picked up the gun and seated yourself while admonishing her about the reckless use of a firearm. And you claimed that you was shaking the gun up and down by the way of emphasis, the weapon discharge and striking the victim. You described her as being seated, then slumped backwards in a silence mode after the incident actually occurred. Looks like on August 13, 1991, the jury found you guilty of manslaughter, dangerous felony, and then they set a sentence date. Is that about right, sir?
That's correct.
It says that you, both in your personal interview as well as in your written responses, admit to the facts surrounding the offense, but continue to maintain throughout that the death was entirely accidental and not totally unintended to happen. Is that right?
That's correct.
So why don't you tell this board, sir, what was going on with you during that period of time and how this incident occurred in your own words?
Okay, I met Patricia in Los Angeles, and she had ran out of money. So I paid that. I wanted to get away from Los Angeles, to get away from the drugs in my life that I had there. She agreed to let me stay at her house, you know. So I went there. And we were drinking excessively for, it must have been a month. And she was having trouble with some guy named Willie Shulman. I guess it was her ex-husband or ex-boyfriend or something. And he would terrorize her. So I told her, why don't you get a gun? So I took her down and I paid for the gun. She bought it. I paid for it. And I was behind the gun out on the table. And I bought another TV set. And I was taking the old TV out to the van. And when I came back in, I had to go to the bathroom, so I went in and I was urinating. And I heard a gunshot. I heard the glass break in the door. So I came out, and the gun was laying on the table. And I grabbed it, and I sat down in the lazy boy, the armchair. And I put my hand on my knee. I put my elbow on my knee, and I shook the gun. And I said, don't fuck. You know, I didn't want to cuss. I don't want to cuss. But I said, don't fuck. And it went off. I shook it like 3 times, really hard.
Uh-huh.
And the gun went off, and it struck this Hirsch. I panicked. I'm not
okay, so after that happened, so as you know, you left, you know, carried her to the bedroom, covered her with a blanket, you left. How come you didn't notify the police department or try to get her any help?
Because I knew she was dead. I panicked and I was drunk. And I didn't think about it. Just thought about getting away. And I'm not used to seeing dead bodies laying in front of me. I don't know where I can. There's no way I can explain that except that it's not that I was panicked and I was scared.
And you asked
me. I've been shot before. In 1987. That's in the war thing. I put out a police report and a newspaper report that I gave to the wards.
Well, I have that, sir.
Huh?
I said, we have that.
Yeah, well, I was shot before. I was sleeping in my van. I was shot. And it affected me mentally. I can't stand to be around loud noises, you know, people that come up and, you know, just arbitrarily decide they're going to scare you. And I turn around and I become violent.
Okay. So, Mr. DeWitt, did you think she was dead at the time, or did you think she was dead?
I think she was. I picked her up and put her in the bed.
Uh-huh.
And I checked her vitals. I checked to see if she was breathing. I checked to see if there was a heartbeat. There was nothing. And when I picked her up, there was a sudden gust of air that came from her nose. But when I discovered that she was deceased, I went crazy.
So why would you shake the gun in the direction of her head? I mean, it says the bullet went into her nose and came out the back. So why would you shake the gun, telling her, you know, how to be gun safety and do that in that position?
The only thing that I was scared, like I told you, I've been shot before.
Okay.
I died twice. Spent 10 and a half hours on the surgery table, having them dig bullets out of me. There's a lot of people.
Okay. All right, so, Mr. DeWitt, can you hear me? Mr. DeWitt, I see. Sir, I don't think you can.
No, I don't think you can. We'll see if we can get her back.
That's not happened before, has it?
This thing's been just...
which is old.
That's a no problem.
It's always something, isn't it?
It's always something.
Yes, get the remote and turn that to you.
Yes, I'm going to.
Nah, he's probably still on the phone. What was happening yesterday?
This didn't happen. We had to do it to someone from home yesterday. This is getting so soft, being in here.
You know, the main thing, the other problem you're having all that time is that it's a different, it is just really good. Them people in front of me.
Dr. Mitchell, we're off the record.
Yes, ma'am, I think so.
We're going off the record, and we'll resume when we get Mr. DeWitt back on camera.